Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good to be together again.
Amen.
Great service on Sunday. We enjoyed the fellowship together, the time of worship and praising God and the Word. And, you know, I think every one of us was encouraged and we're going forward. Praise His wonderful name.
Yeah.
Today we're going to carry on our Bible study this evening with from 2 Kings, it's chapter 4. Looking at the journey of the Elisha and the record of the acts that God used him in and the prophetic way that God used him. And so here in chapter 4, we have entitled today as Keep On Pouring.
Amen.
Keep on pouring. And you know, we need the Lord to keep on pouring into us.
Amen.
And when the Lord has poured into us, we need to be pouring it out into others.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so we praise God for that. So, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, "Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves.'"
Wow.
One of the things that we can see here is that this woman, her husband, was involved with Elisha's school of the prophets, and he would be one of the prophets during that time to the nation of Israel and Judah. At that time, as they were going out and ministering unto the Lord. And obviously, in ministry, there's a great sacrifice. And in those days, probably an even greater sacrifice where there was little or no finance coming in. And for some reason, this prophet had got himself into some form of debt. And, of course, he dies all of a sudden. And then he's left with his two sons and his wife behind. And they have to somehow cover the debt. And one of the things that happened in the Old Testament was that they would have to put themselves into some form of slavery and become a slave to pay off the debt. And usually it was for possibly a minimum of 7 years, and it could be longer. So here she's about to lose her two sons, who probably were the ones who were trying to help her anyway, and they're going to be taken as slaves to work off a debt. And they could have been gone for 7 years. And so we find that Elisha is on his way traveling through that area, and she meets him and she begins to explain the situation. And so in verse 2, we find Elisha says to her, and I think this is very interesting. This is important that we really take note of this at this time. And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you?" Right? And he says, "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" So often we look at the negative. We're always looking at what we don't have. But Elisha is saying, "What do you have?" And you know, we need to begin to look at ourselves and say, what do I have that God has given to me?
Amen.
You know, this is a different line of thought. What do we have? And you know what God wants to do? He wants to take what we have and he wants to deal with it and use it for his praise and for his glory. And we will see this as we work through this few verses here. And so he says to her, "What do you have in your house?" And she answered and said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Wow. Just one jar of oil. But you see, Elisha had changed her focus at that point in time. She was initially looking at the fact that my two sons are going into slavery and I will probably die because I have nothing to provide and no one to provide for me. So initially she's looking at the negative side of everything. And so often that we as individuals through the society that we live in we have often been trained that we're always looking at the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
The focus always seems to be on the negative. When we hear the media, it is always focusing on negatives. And yet God, through the prophet, God is speaking to us and saying, what do you have? And the word today for each and every one of us is, what do you have?
Amen.
What do you have? Stop looking at what you don't have. Start looking at what you do have. Because God wants you to use what you have first.
Amen.
And when you've exhausted that, then God will provide even more. Or God will maybe bring what you've already got and cause it to bring an abundance, as we'll read through and just develop the thoughts of this story, this actual happening that with this lady in 2 Kings chapter 4. And so he starts her to start looking for the positives. What do you have? And she's focused and says, well, the only thing I've got is this jar of oil. And you and I have to realize that if we focus on what we've got, we begin to journey the path of victory. That's where we're going. Because the journey of the path of victory is looking at what we've got. And it's beginning to use what we've got. And in that journey of seeing what God has already provided, then God can provide much more for us. And that allows God to begin to use us. And we're in a positive frame of mind. We're promoting ourselves living in faith. Because looking at what we've got is living in faith. We're moving forward because I've already got this and God will add to this. God will multiply this. And so then moving by faith. Whereas if we're looking at what we've not got, we're looking at unbelief. We're looking in doubt. We're looking at fear. These things, we're looking at the face of them. You know, God says, look into my face. Look at what you've got. Look what I've already given you. Because when you look at what you've got, what is in your hand? What do you have available? And God can use that to cause you and I to become overcomers. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I'll get to that one. I'm leading into that one. So grace is prompting me further on. It's like, I haven't got there yet. I'm working on it. Give me a chance, you know. She's preaching. She's a few minutes in front. She's preaching forward. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But yeah. And so, what have you got? Is the question. And you know, when you're in that difficult situation, you've got to ask yourself, what have I got? God. You've got God on your side. You've got the word of God in your mouth, a sharp two-edged sword. What have I got? You know? And look at what you've got and say, right, how can God use this? And so, verse 3, and he said to her, go borrow vessels as large for yourself, and all from your neighbors, even empty vessels. Don't just get a few, right? Don't just get a few. Get as many vessels as you can. And so she has to go out and, her sons go out, they collect all these vessels. So, just before we get to that, as I'm reminded before we get to yours with what's in your hands, right, is the fact of, do you remember the disciples came to Jesus and there's this massive crowd of 5,000 plus people and the disciples said, send them away. And Jesus said, no, they need to be fed. What have you got? And so they went looking. And what did they find? They found a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they said, this is what we've got, Lord. You see, sometimes we have to make an effort. We can't just expect God to keep doing and doing and doing because that's when we're babies.
Yeah.
We need to mature and say, God, Lord, I have this and I'm ready to place it on the altar. And so the disciples bring this young boy and this young boy says, look, I've got this. I've got my mum's made me a pack up lunch. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Do you want to share it with me, Jesus? He says, yeah, I do. He says, let's pray over it. And so Jesus prays over it, blesses it, and then he begins to break it. And you know, there's one basket comes and he fills that basket with bread, and then he fills some fish baskets, and so it goes on. And they feed all these people from this little boy's what he's got. Wow. He brought, you know, and this is where we've got to catch all of this, guys. We bring what we've got to the Lord, and God says, I can use that.
Amen.
I will use it, I will multiply it, I will increase it, I will cause it to be a blessing to others. And you know, if you want more from God, you've got to bring what you've got.
Mm.
And when you bring what you've got and say, and you can remember the story with Elijah and the woman and the boy, and he said, what do you have? She said, I've got enough grain to make the last piece of bread and enough oil and to bake a cake for us both, and then we're going to die. And he said, no, first make me. Give to the prophet. Give to God in one sense. And she gave that. She made it. And, you know, that oil and that meal did not run out.
Mm-hmm.
It went right way through the famine.
He said,
she gave what she had, and then God caused it to multiply.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, it's a principle that operates in the Word of God.
God has multiplied.
He says, yeah, I mean, you look at Genesis and God caused the, you know, the creatures to multiply. He didn't add them.
No.
God is a multiplying God. And so God looks and says, what have you got? And you bring what you've got, and God says, I'll multiply. And, you know, and when Moses met with God at the burning bush, and God said to him, what you got in your hand?
Mm-hmm.
He said, it's my rod. It's the staff of my life. It's my life story so far, which is quite boring, God, actually. He said, throw it down. Give up on it. Give up on your life.
Well,
you know, this will take me to another message if I'm not careful here. You see, the rod, it was called the staff of life, and Moses' staff was his staff of life. This was his life story so far. And, you know, there'll be stories of probably him being in Egypt, and then the rest of the next 40 years is in a desert where all he can do is talk for sheep, not much has been happening. And his life has sort of become quite boring, and but that's all he's got. And God says, throw it down. And you know, today God is saying to many people and to us, throw your life down.
Yeah.
Throw it down onto the cross.
Yeah.
Throw your life down. Give up. Keep pouring out of yourself what bit you've got, and God will add to it and multiply it. And so, if you remember, Moses threw it down and became a serpent.
Yeah.
You know, he went and picked it up. And the story later, when he meets the magicians of Pharaoh, Moses demonstrates the power of God by throwing his rod down. It became a serpent, and all the magicians laughed and said, we can do that, that's easy. So they all threw their staff down. But what they didn't realize is that the staff of Moses just simply slithered along and swallowed every one of their staffs, every one of their serpents out of the way, and they just disappeared. You know, things will disappear in front of us when we surrender everything to God. God will begin to clear the way. God will make a way where there is no way.
Amen.
Abraham and Isaac, here's another one. You know, Abraham was told, come on, sacrifice your teenage boy to me. I want everything that you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And so he began the journey. And if you remember, the story goes later on that Isaac says, well, hang on, Dad. We've got the wood. We've got the fire. But where's the sacrifice? And his father said, Abraham said to him, God will provide. And God waited right up until the last moment when Abraham had actually tied his son up, Isaac, on this altar that he'd made and was about to plunge the knife into him. And God had to call out his name twice because he was determined to give what he'd got.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Abraham's life and future was invested in Isaac.
Yeah.
And as he was prepared to thrust that knife in and give everything that he had got, God called him out. And then in the thicket, there was a ram ready to be sacrificed on the altar. God had already made provision. But the fact is that you and I have to learn to surrender what we've got. And as we surrender what we got, what we have, and we give them to God wholeheartedly, without reserve, we shall see God moving in power in our lives. And he will begin to change circumstances and situations. With Moses, that rod was powerful. God made it into something. His life story began to change. He parted the Red Sea. He did, he brought water from a rock. So the thing is that when God receives from us, God can use something, but God wants us to be participators.
Amen.
In what he is doing. We haven't yet, some folk haven't really connected with this, but God wants us to participate in what he is doing. God does not want you just to simply sit back and expect God to wave a wand over your lifestyle, over what's happening in your life, and then it will all change. No, it is a joint corporate effort. When we came to Christ, we had to do something. When we came to Christ, Jesus had done it all on the cross, but there was one thing that we had to do. And one thing that we had to do was, I surrender all.
Yeah.
We had to give up what little we had. We had to turn it over to God. And then in turning that little bit that we have over to God, then God began to use it to his praise and to his glory. That's where we're at. So we have to begin to pour out from ourselves. And in that outpouring, we see God moving in power. Verse 4 of 2 Kings and chapter 4. And Elisha says, and you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. And verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. There's faith in operation here. There's faith. She's pouring out of this one little vessel. She's pouring it out into these empty vessels, and there'll be some vessels which were bigger than the one that she'd got. And logic would tell you that, this vessel I'm pouring into is bigger than the one I've got in my hand. Maybe she started with a smaller vessel and thought, I'll test it, I'll see, and I'll fill this one. And then she went to another small vessel and, it's still not empty. And then she ended up, she's going to bigger vessels than what she's got, and she's pouring into these bigger vessels, and it's still pouring. It's still pouring. It's still pouring, and it's still in these bigger vessels, and yet the vessel, the small jar she has, is still full of oil.
Amen.
What an amazing situation. What an amazing circumstance. And she fills every vessel, every empty vessel that has been collected, and she fills them full to overflowing. And verse 6 says, and it came about when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is none.
Amen.
There is no more. And the oil stopped.
Sure.
Let me tell you this. While there's a need, God will keep pouring through you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Remember that. Whilst there is a need, God will keep pouring through you. So we need to make sure that wherever we are, there's going to be a need, that we can allow God to pour through us, allow God to use us and bless other people and pour into people's lives so that we can touch and change people's lives. And so here's this amazing experience that this woman has gone through. And she's overawed by what has happened. She's looking at this, and every vessel in the house that they've got is filled. Every corner of the room is filled with a vessel that is full of oil. And she doesn't know what to do. She's just so amazed at what's happened. She's stunned by the miracle in one sense. But what she did, she acted in total obedience to the word of the prophet, Elisha.
Yeah.
She followed to the word what he told her to do. She closed the door. to prevent her from hearing the negativeness maybe of her neighbour saying, don't be silly, that vessel's too small, it won't fill that one that you're pouring into. She got rid of all the negative thoughts, she got rid of all the negative activities that could come into her life by closing the door, and she shut herself in with God. She shut herself in believing that God, through the word of the prophet, was able to provide and to do this mighty miracle. Glory to God. If you need a miracle, sometimes you need to shut yourself off from the doubts and the fears and the negativeness of this world and say, God, I'm here. I'm 100%. Whatever I've got, Lord, you can have. Whatever you want to use, Lord, use it. And in some cases, it might just be your time. It might be some of your talents that God just wants to get hold of. He says, I want 100% of it. I want all of it. Because if we don't give it all, he can't use it all. You know, we have got to give to God and allow God, because then God will multiply it. Like that little boy when he came to Jesus, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. He didn't go home with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, did he? There were 12 baskets full. He went home with an abundance. Hallelujah. And God is a God of an abundance. And this lady, one jar, suddenly there's an abundance in the house.
Yeah.
Glory to God. And today, let us believe that God wants to bring an abundance in the house.
Yeah.
And if we believe that, we'll see God moving in power. That there will be an abundance in the house of the Lord. Glory to God. There'll be an abundance within our lives for his praise and for his glory. You know, as I said earlier, these boys, these young sons of hers would have to spend 7 years at least in slavery to pay off the debt. You know, she obeyed God. And in her obedience, the Lord brought the blessing of freedom and deliverance. And also, he brought her security for the rest of her days.
Amen.
God is a God that is interested in you. He's interested in your future. And he's interested in the now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He's a God of the now, but he's preparing you for the future. And you know, we have to realize this and we have to accept this. My question today again is, what is your vessel like? Is it full and running over? Is our faith rising? Is our spiritual relationship with the Lord increasing? Are we growing and walking in faith, or are we living by unbelief and fear? A lot of questions in there. I'll do it again. I'll just read it again. What is your vessel like? Is it full and overflowing? Is our faith rising? Is our spiritual relationship with the Lord increasing? Are we growing and walking in faith, or are we living in unbelief and fear? Only you can answer that one. I know where the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be walking in faith. He wants us to be growing. He wants us to be increasing. God has never put a limit upon us.
No.
God has never limited us.
No.
It is us that limits God. God does not limit you and me, because God knows that there is much more for you to do. There is much more for you to grow into. And so God is calling each and every one of us into a deeper service, a fuller experience of himself. You know, we are called by God to rule and to reign until he returns. We're not called to just, you know, hide out somewhere in a little house or a little bungalow somewhere. We're called to rule and reign. We're called to be a church of Jesus Christ. We're to rise above what we see. We're to rise above what we hear coming out of the world. We have to rise above these things. You know, sometimes we have to close the door to the world's thoughts. If you remember just a few weeks ago, Tracy was told by the nursing staff, they took a phone off her and they said to her, stop listening to the media. And sometimes we need to turn the media off and let the only media be the word of God.
Amen.
That speaks into our lives, that will change us, that will bring a positive focus, and that will tune us into the mighty presence of the living God, that will bring us to a place where we shall become more than conquerors, as the Word of God has stated. That you and I will be more than conquerors in the Word of God. We would stand on the promises of the Word of God. We are called as children of God to be the conquerors, not to be the ones who are defeated. And so God is calling us, come on, church, arise and conquer. You know, and we need to do this. We need to bring down the powers, principalities and powers that seek to come against us. And we need to stand against them and stand in the anointing that God has placed upon us. And stand in that anointing and let the people around us sense and feel and see the anointing of God on us, like in the days with Moses. Like when Jesus came into the room, people knew he was there. He didn't have to speak, but there was a presence. Amen. And we need to come to a point in our lives where we are carrying such a presence of God that people know who we are because of the presence, because of the miracle-working power of God that will flow through us, and it will change the dynamics in the room. It will change the circumstances and situation. I remember a story of, I think it was Kenneth Hagin, who most of his family didn't believe in Jesus. He'd come to Christ, and he went to a family reunion, which he hated to go to because it was totally ungodly, and his brothers and sisters were really against him at that time, and he'd not long been filled in the Holy Spirit, and he went to a, I can't remember what celebration or whether it was a funeral or something of that nature, but there was a gathering, and he went to this gathering there, and he just stood there, and he could see and sense the animosity that was focused towards him, and he just began to pray in tongues. And as he began to pray in tongues, particularly what his elder brother was really against him, and as he began to pray in tongues, he could see the change that was happening in their lives. They were beginning to change. There was a different response from them because the principality and power that was holding their lives was being broken, was being put under the subjection of the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he began to realize the way to deal with things is through the Spirit. And the Spirit realm will break principalities and powers. God has given us the power. God has given us the Holy Spirit that we might break the power of the enemy. Pull down the stronghold, it says, you know, and establish new strongholds in Christ. And this is what we're doing in people's lives. You know, we can look, when you look at a drug addict and an alcoholic, the strongholds of the alcohol and the drugs that is holding them in prisons. And we have to pull those strongholds down. In pulling those strongholds down, we then need to rebuild them. And we build strongholds with a strong tower of the Word of God around their lives. And we see them equipped to move forward in the presence and the power of God. And so as we see these things happening, God is at work to do great and mighty things. So, verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Well, praise God. You see, God is a God of abundance. He did not just pay the debt off. Hallelujah. He paid the debt off. And he gave us enough, I believe, to live on for the rest of her life.
Amen.
Because she was faithful. Her husband had been faithful. He'd been the man of God. And she stood there and she, you know, she declared, Lord, my husband was faithful as a man of God. You owe me something. And the prophet delivered. And, you know, God provided for this woman that she would never, ever again be in debt. But she had provision for the rest of her life. Praise God. And this is where we need to realize that God wants you to know that he is well able to keep you in that you're accustomed to.
Amen.
And even greater. That was a promise that God gave to Grace and I many years ago as we stepped out in faith, trusting God that we were walking in his promise. We were walking in obedience to him. And in that obedience, God said, I will keep you. You walk in obedience to me and I promise I will supply your needs. I will keep you in that you're accustomed to. God has been faithful to that. But let me tell you this. for him to be faithful to it, we also have to be faithful to the calling and obedience to him. And that is key. You know, God does not run a one-sided operation.
No.
God does not want to do everything all himself. He wants you to be involved in it. Because in being involved, we are so excited and empowered.
Amen.
And our confidence rises in that, you know, God created us to be these people. God created us to be the anointed ones. God created us to be the sons of the living
Amen.
God. And to be the sons of the living God, we have to act. We have to act like the Father.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To be a chip off the old block, as they say.
Yeah.
You know, let's be a chip off the whole block. Let's be like Jesus. Let's be like our Heavenly Father. And let's do great and mighty things to bless people around us. And how do we do that? How do we do it? Well, you see, this woman gave everything she had. And in doing so, God provided back to her, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, did God give into her. And you know, we as individuals, whatever we do, we must remember that the tithe belongs to the Lord.
Amen.
We bring our tithes to God. And in bringing our tithes to God, we start the process where God will begin to meet our needs, where God will provide for us. Don't go eating your seed.
No.
You know, some of you heard me tell the story of somebody that I knew years ago, and he was basically, his tithe was what he'd got left when he paid his rent, paid his gas, electric, fuel bills, the food. When he paid everything off, when he got a fiver left, he gave 50p to God. He says, that's my tithe, because that's all I've got. And he said, I can't afford any more. I said, well, I can't afford to live like that. Mm. I said, if the company gives me £1,000 a month, then I pay off the £1,000. Even before tax manners raided it as well, I give off the top. That's what they employed me for. That's the agreement. That's the wage that I have agreed to. And God deserves the 10% minimum of what that is. And so that's what we've always done. And this guy, well, he fell out with me, bless him. He got mad at me. And I said, well, it's okay. I said, I'm just telling you what I do. A few weeks later, he came back to me. And he said, I'd like to apologize. And I thought, what do you want to apologize for? I didn't remember the incident, really, because I'd not taken it as an offense. He'd asked a question. I gave him my answer. Well, he said, I've tried to do what you said. He said, I started doing it. He said, do you know something? I've got more money in my pocket now than I had before. And I said, God, he will provide. God somehow miraculously will make that money go further. God will bring an increase. I don't know how he does it. I have no idea. Don't ask me to explain it, because that's God's property. That's God's dealing. That's God, way God does it. God works in special ways. And, you know, there are things that we don't understand, but he just does it. And so we've always lived like that. And so for me, you know, it's not just about the tithe, but then we bring our offering of thanksgiving, offering of praise, thanksgiving that God has healed us, offerings of to give into missions work. And great, you know, we had a great missionary offering on Sunday. I think it was somewhere around about 160, 180 pounds.
Amen.
Praise God for that. And, you know, God will bless you for that. God will minister into your lives. And you know, like these incidents that we've talked about in scripture, where the young boy came and gave what he had, and Jesus blessed him with far more abundantly above all that he could ever ask or think. I don't think he would have managed to carry it home.
No.
He probably gave it away, some of it away.
Mm.
Isn't that great? Though when God blesses you with an abundance, well, I don't need all this, I'll give some more of this away.
Mm.
And God's saying, well, I'm going to have to plan to give you some more.
Mm.
Because I can see your heartbeat.
Amen.
I can see your heartbeat. And you know, it's great. And we need to honor God with our tithes and offerings and put a storehouse in heaven.
Yeah.
Where rust and moth cannot corrupt. Put it in heaven. Because God will reward you. You know, we're going to live in eternity. And God is going to bless us in eternity and move us in a new dimension, even down here. And so we need to be listening and working on these things. As I said, don't eat your tithe. Make the Lord, the first part. Make the Lord have the first fruit. You know, God has got his eye upon you. God knows what you do. God can see it. He sees your heart. Don't give it grudgingly, neither. Give with a joyful heart. And giving with a joyful heart, God sees the heart and the way and our motives that we give. And God rejoices in that joy that is in us. And as we give unto the Lord and to the Lord's work and the things that are happening, and in it, we're trusting God to take us further on. We're trusting God that no matter what, he'll never let us down. No matter what, God will always be faithful. And you can never outgive God. That is one thing that Grace and I have proved. We have never been able to outgive God. God has always turned up with something better. God has always set us free. God has always moved in amazing ways. I just want to encourage you. It is tremendous how God can change circumstances and situations. And you think, wow, how did that happen? And we just worship God for his goodness towards us. And you know, God is able to give back to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall God give unto us. You know, one thing we don't need to do, and I've seen this in the past, and I've seen people where they'll go around a church situation, or they'll go around a situation where there's some ministry going on, and they'll start spreading how they're in need of finances. And then, genuinely, some person who is a believer hears this and says, oh, well, I'll give you something towards it. And then they turn around and say, oh, isn't that amazing how God has moved? No, it wasn't God moving. It was the heart of that person who opened his heart to you and gave, right? But when you can say that God moved is when nobody knows what you need. And then the money turns up.
Yeah.
Daniel's had that experience. Yeah. And he's put his hand up and said, praise the Lord. We've had that experience many times. And so, we don't tell somebody what you're wanting. Tell God what you need.
Amen.
And let God bring the miracle. Yeah. Because that's when we then say, well, that's a miracle. Because nobody knew. Only the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father and Jesus and me knew. And it was through them that miracles came about. Otherwise, it's just somebody's heart that has been opened towards us. And there's nothing wrong with somebody opening their heart, because God, you know, God has said that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous.
Amen.
Yeah? And you know, he said that the word says that he's sending them out to work.
Amen.
So that they can bless us. Hallelujah. Yeah. Who wants to be blessed?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Get more jobs out there, Lord. Send more folk out there working for us. Mm-hmm. And let them bring in the increase that, Lord, we might use it to bless lives that are in desperate need.
Yeah.
Through the power and the word of God flowing through us, and the joy of the Lord and the presence of God and the excitement of Jesus in us. And we can fill lives and touch lives with Jesus, and also meet some of their practical needs. Because
Amen.
God has given us that wherewithal to do it. And you know, when we give, and we make space for God to give back to us with interest. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise his wonderful name. God is never going to shortchange you. Just make sure that in everything that we do, we're always giving glory to him.
Yeah.
We're always praising him. We're always magnifying him. And as we do this, we shall see that, like this lady, God took what she had and he caused it to multiply. And he supplied the need for the debt, but he supplied the need for the rest of her life. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. And what a wonderful blessing that is. And so today, whatever you've got, keep pouring it.
Amen.
Keep pouring it. Just keep pouring it. And as you pour out, then God will pour in some more. And you will find that you are just beginning to expand in the realm of the Spirit. And God is like, oh boy, there's more room. I'll pour more in. That we might be an outpoured person that touches lives in an abundant way. And you know, when the enemy comes in, the Spirit of the Lord raises up the standard against it, and we just gush out like a flood and just blow him away with the blessings of God, and people's lives are touched. And they're just like, wow, why are you doing this? Because I love Jesus. That's why I'm doing it.
doing it. And because Jesus loves you, and I want you to know the love of Jesus for your life, and I want you to get to know Jesus, whom to know is life eternal forevermore. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
Thanks for being here tonight. And then just go for this in Jesus' name. Mm. Be like this woman, walking in faith, trusting God, pouring out of what little she had, and watch God bring an abundance and bring a provision. Make a way for a provision for God to provide. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you.
Amen.